Tabitha, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
Then upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Orin, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir, I have.
Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
I worship your name, I treasure your praise.
from Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 through 9.
After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you. in the Old Testament book of Joshua. I've been thinking about Joshua because I think maybe because it's the beginning of the new year. If you know anything at all about Joshua, you know that he was the one who assumed the duty of leading the Israelite people after Moses. Now, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, so he appointed this young man by the name of Joshua. It wasn't really Moses' appointment, though. I believe it was God's appointment. And we have been appointed. Each of you, each of us, have been appointed to follow in the footsteps of Joshua's faith. And I want us to look this morning at the subject, Joshua, valiant in fight. And you may not like that word fight, but if you're a Christian, if you don't realize that you're in a fight, then I seriously doubt whether you are a Christian. Because doesn't the Bible say that we are to put on the whole armor of God, and we are to go out and face the foe equipped with the equipment that God gives us, faith, and the Word of God, and which is the sword of the Spirit, and the other articles of our armor. We need that because we're in a fight. Now, as a nation, of course, we're in a fight too. And we say in Iraq mainly, but it's really an ongoing struggle, the struggle of truth with falsehood, or the struggle of good against evil. And I trust that we're always on the side of good and of God. But certainly, as a Christian, we need to take our places with Joshua and learn from him. Well, I want to share with you this morning what we can learn about being valiant in fight. Now, that phrase came from the book of Hebrews. You may remember that if you've read Hebrews chapter 11, which is the roll call of the heroes of the faith. Now, interestingly, Joshua is not found in that list of notables in Hebrews chapter 11. But I think that he may be mentioned there, not by name, but in that phrase, valiant in fight. I think of Joshua as being valiant in fight. The Bible says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day when he went to be with Christ. Well, if you do not realize you're in a fight, again, I don't think that you're maybe not a Christian. Because we have a struggle that we are in, a struggle against evil, against the devil and his host, but also against the flesh. And we have many enemies as Christians, and not flesh and blood. I think that we sometimes think that our enemy is our neighbor or that person that we don't get along with. But the Bible says that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but they are the principalities and powers of the heavenly realm. So we are called to be in this fight, and we're called, like Joshua, to be valiant in fight. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we need an objective to pursue. We need an objective to pursue. Now, if you do not have an objective in life, someone else is going to think of one for you. And you're going to be dissatisfied with life. You're going to feel like you have no purpose in life. But if God has called you to be one of His, then you have an objective to pursue, like Joshua here. Well, let's look at the scripture passage here. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, he didn't have Moses anymore to lean on. And so he was it. He was to be the leader. Did you know that God has called you to be a leader in your generation? We don't have Moses with us. We don't have the ones who have gone before. So God appoints us to be like Joshua, to stand in that gap, to fill that need of being a leader. What about that objective? Well, there's a promise to that objective. Let's see what God says here. He says, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, God gave them a promise. It wasn't fulfilled yet. Joshua claimed that promise. Now, you may remember that Joshua was one of the 12 spies that were sent out earlier and to spy out the land. And I think the purpose, the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were in Sinai. God wanted them to go up and possess the land, but they were reluctant to do it because they thought of all the enemies that they would have to face. But Joshua was one of the two who came back and said, we're well able to go up and possess that land. He had that optimism. I'm getting ahead, but I want to share a little bit about that promise that God gave here. God has given us a promise. We're not to live in defeat. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ, and that we must, like Joshua, possess what God has already promised. He has promised us salvation. He has promised us an abundant life. Let's claim it. So there's an objective to pursue, and it's promise, and it's plan. Now, Joshua had a plan here. And it wasn't just a plan that he thunk up, that he kind of had his game plan and he was the architect of it. No, it was a plan that God gave him. And he said, your territory will extend. And he gave them the boundary of the land. And he said, no one will be able to stand up against you. and be strong and courageous. And remember, they were standing there at the edge of the Jordan River. Now, they might, I'm sure somebody in the crowd must have asked. There always is one. Well, let's go back that way. We don't have a river to cross. We don't have any enemies to face. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. We were secure back there. So let's go back. Let's retreat. But no, Joshua said, arise and go over the Jordan River. God said that, and Joshua obeyed. So there's a plan. Someone has said to fail to plan is to plan to fail. So we must have a plan. God will give us that plan if we will take time to read His Word and to know what God would have us to do. He wants us to be without doubt about each step that we take. Now, we may not know what we're going to do tomorrow or certainly a year from now, but God is interested in showing us step by step what He wants us to do. The question is, are we willing to obey as Joshua was? But there's a possession in that objective to pursue. He says, God does. He says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, on the west to the great sea. That is, the Euphrates was on the east. But to the great sea on the west. Now, that was a large territory. That was larger than any, I think, any extent of the land of Israel. Because they did not take God seriously in possessing their possessions. But Joshua was not one of them. We need to be like Joshua, don't we? There's an encouragement here for us to be like Joshua. To take that step of faith, even into the unknown. But believing that God is going to do, as the Bible says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, you are standing at the River of Jordan now. You may not realize it, but in your life, you are at that point. And you can either go forward with God or you can go back with the enemy. And what's it going to be? Well, let's learn from Joshua to go forward. So there's an objective to pursue here. There's also an optimism to possess. I was talking with John this morning about optimism. John's our resident optimist, the apostle of love, I call him. And he's full of optimism and encouragement to us. Well, Joshua was like that. I think you didn't have to know Joshua very long to either wonder if he was crazy or believe that he actually believed that he could do what God called him to do. But don't you like to be around people like that? That's contagious. Now, I think pessimism is contagious too, unfortunately. Maybe even more contagious than optimism. Because most of the people were pessimists, it seems, because 10 of the 12 came back with a pessimistic, that was earlier, as I alluded to. They came back with a pessimistic report. They said, oh, the land is beautiful and good, like God said it was, but there are enemies there that we could never conquer. Well, see, they left God out of that idea, didn't they? Someone has said that one person with God is a majority. If you're on God's side, it doesn't matter if everybody else is on the devil's side. I mean, it may matter as far as God's work is concerned, but you go with God, and you're in the majority. Well, Joshua had that attitude of optimism. Someone has defined an optimist as someone who goes to a restaurant and orders oyster stew in the hope of finding a pearl. I don't know whether you'd want to find a pearl in your oyster stew. You might have some dental work to pay for with that pearl afterward. But Joshua had that. I would rather have somebody like Joshua that maybe some people thought was just a hair short of craziness than someone who thinks it can't be done. Someone who said that the seven last words of the church were, we never did it that way before. Well, God was doing a new thing here, wasn't He? They never went that way before. But God wanted them to go forward, and Joshua was willing. And He inspired a whole nation to go over. There's a premonition in that optimism. I think Joshua thought, he must have dreamed about it. He must have thought of all the things that God was going to do for them. Oh, as they crossed the Jordan, and as they were obedient. The Bible says that eye has not seen nor has ear heard the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Do we believe that? Well, we're optimists if we do. There's an optimism of faith. Now, I'm not talking about just having faith in nothing or just having disconnect from reality. But we simply believe that what God has said, He's going to do. Someone has said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So that's what faith is. And I see that here in Joshua. There's an acquisition, too, in that optimism, because God said, no one will be able to stand against you. Be strong and courageous, for I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And He said again, be strong and courageous. I think that's optimism. But we step out on faith, and we believe that God is big enough to do, as He has said, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's also an obedience to practice here in the lesson of Joshua. There was courage in that obedience. Obedience takes courage. It takes courage to obey when you don't know what's going to happen. You know, we kind of think the opposite. We kind of think, well, you know, that's maybe not, it may be courage, but it's stupid. I would rather be stupid, wouldn't you? If it means, or at least to be thought stupid, rather than to disobey God. And Joshua had a fear of God, didn't he? He had a fear that he might lead the people wrong. And that he might show weakness. I think maybe Joshua may have actually been a little like Timothy in the New Testament. You remember, Timothy was the one that Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe because he saw in Timothy this tendency to be timid. Now remember, Joshua had been the assistant of Moses for a long time. And everybody knew that he was the assistant. You know, there is a God and you're not him attitude. Or there's Moses, but then there's Joshua. You're not Moses. I think one of our presidential candidates said, I knew John Kennedy, but you're not John Kennedy. Kind of that attitude. And I'm sure Joshua had to live with that. And maybe it began to influence his life. And he began to think, well, I'll never be Moses. I'll never have that courage, that boldness that Moses had. Well, God, where does that courage come from? Well, it comes from God. And that's why God said to him, be courageous. So there's a courage in that obedience. There's a compliance. That's really what obedience means. We comply with what God has said. If you were ever in the military, you know that that's the first lesson that you have to learn. Because we're not obedient by nature. We want to do our own thing. And we have better ideas than those that lead us. So here Joshua obeyed. And then there was a completion. Now we don't see it yet. But we do see that first step being taken. And as the old, I think it's a Chinese proverb, it says, it's not in the Bible, but it's true, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with just one step. But it's that step of faith that we can learn from, that Joshua took, that brought a whole nation into their possession. Now, we can either be like Joshua, or we can be like the 10 who were negative and who said, oh, you know, we can never do that. You know what their problem was? Their God was too small. But Joshua believed that God was big enough to do what he had told them he would do. And that's what I think sets apart Joshua from a whole generation. May we be a generation of Joshua's.